Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jackie's Quilting Chronicles, episode number 17. I wanted to welcome you in today and thank you all for listening to my last episode where I talked about designing your quilts. I'd like to retouch on that episode just a little bit today. I got some feedback, and actually some wonderful feedback from Kathy, who has used Electric Quilt and Quilt Pro, which are two of the programs that I mentioned in the last episode. And I thought it was relevant information, and I did ask her if I could share this with you. So, Kathy, if you're out there listening, thank you, thank you, thank you. So here I go. I'm just going to read a little bit about what she says about the two programs. She says she's used both Quilt Pro and Electric Quilt. She is a PC user, doesn't use a Mac like I do. She's actually a new user of Electric Quilt, having only really started using it for designing in the last few weeks. She used Quilt Pro for 5 or 6 years. She doesn't do applique and work with quilts made from traditional blocks, so please take that into account when reading the comments. She finds Quilt Pro to be a bit more intuitive than Electric Quilt. She was able to get started with Quilt Pro without reading the manual. With Electric Quilt, you really have to understand where things are before you can do much, so I pretty much have to keep the manual open while I'm working. Both programs work well for designing traditional blocks. Both programs allow you to use fabric swatches. I've scanned most of my stash, so I have a library of my fabrics. Both user manuals provide very good instructions for working with your own images. Both programs can use the same picture files, so I didn't have to start all over when I switched to Electric Quilt. Quilt Pro and Electric Quilt both allow you to export quilt blocks and images. I typically do bitmaps, .bpm extension. Both programs appear to have similar capabilities, at least for traditional pieced blocks. The reason I purchased Electric Quilt was that I was about to go nuts trying to use Quilt Pro in Microsoft's Vista operating system. It's very klutzy compared to using it under XP. I can't speak to how Quilt Pro works in Microsoft's new operating system, as I've not yet gotten brave enough to try the upgrade. Electric Quilt navigates Vista just fine. It's not nearly so klutzy as Quilt Pro is. I do like the way Electric Quilt saves everything in a project file. It makes it easier to go back to a project and have all the fabrics, blocks, and quilts all in one place for comparison. You can't do that in Quilt Pro. She was very, very good in that. I thought it was extremely great advice for those of you considering getting some type of designing program. So please consider both and look into both and take Kathy's comments to heart, I think, when you are trying to decide on which program to use. Also, I guess that the operating system is going to matter as well. Now, for those of you, you know I have a Mac, and you can install Windows on a Mac. It partitions off. So I can run Electric Quilt if I would like to, but I like to keep my Mac pretty clean of any Windows operating systems. I'm just afraid of what might happen because the Macs are pretty impervious to viruses, and it runs great, and I'm afraid to install a Microsoft operating system on it and partition it off, so that therefore I don't run Electric Quilt. I had also gotten a few comments back from people who are also Mac users, and they had apparently emailed Electric Quilt asking when they'd come out with a Mac version. And apparently EQ does not have any intentions of doing a Mac-based design program. So for those of you who are Mac users, you can get Quilt Pro in a Mac version and also a Windows version. So that particular design program does run on both operating systems, but Electric Quilt, if you wanted to run it on your Mac, you would have to install Windows operating system as a partition or use Boot Camp in your Mac. When you boot it up, it'll automatically go into Windows. For those of you who are Mac users, you probably know what I'm speaking of. If you don't, you can always go to Apple's website and put in the search bar Boot Camp, and it will explain what that is, what that feature is. Anyway, that was the only update I wanted to do about last episode. Today's episode, I want to talk about embellishing your quilt. And I really had been thinking of doing one about this, but this past weekend I had gone with my friend Karen Griska, the Selvage Quilter, and met up with Victoria Finley of Bumble Beans Inc. Down in New York City, which is, if you know me, I'm not really a city girl and I don't take kindly to going into city. I don't know why. I guess it's just there's a lot of people there and it kind of turns me off a little bit. But I will go with somebody who knows their way around, and Karen does, and Victoria lives there, so it actually was quite helpful. They had invited me to go to their guild meeting, the Empire Quilters, and I had a fabulous time, and the speaker there was what inspired me to do this podcast a little sooner. Her name is Terry White. She is a quilter and she is a published quilter. She does a lot of designing with beads and thread, which I've always had an interest in decorative beading embellishment on your quilt tops. And it was really neat to listen to her talk and about her techniques and show some of her quilts, which I did take some pictures of a couple of my favorite ones, and they are on my blog, cvquiltworks.blogspot.com. You can see them there. And if you don't have the links, there was another listener of mine who suggested that I post the links up, and I'm going to start posting the links in where my podcasts are hosted. So when you download them from there, you can click on the links. So the links will be available to you. Anyway, so I posted some of my favorites of her quilts on my blog, but you can also go to the Empire Quilters website as well. They have a wonderful website that I actually love a lot, because I like to go through their show and tell. They take pictures of every quilter that brings a show and tell, and they post them up on their website under the show and tell, and I love going through and seeing. So you'll be able to see some of what went on at their guild and some of the inspiration there. So their website is empirequilters.net, and it's a really fun site, and you can also see some of their upcoming programs. They actually are quite a large guild, which I was amazed. They have 375 members. Of course, not all of them attend every meeting, so, but it was pretty packed when I was there. Anyway, I'm sorry. On to Terry White's. She has published a couple books. One of them is called All Beaded Up, and the other one is Thread Painting Made Easy. So she does do both. She does embellish with beads and thread. She also has some videos out that might be of interest to you as well, designing with thread, a couple videos, beading by machine. So those are interesting, and you might want to visit her website, is threadpaint.com. Anyway, a couple things that she talked about. She uses several techniques when embellishing her quilts with beads. She talked about the different types of threads to use with beads, and you can use any kind of bead, really, that makes you happy, from seed beads to larger glass beads to, you know, pretty much anything, buttons, even, but sequins or even hot fix. I've used the hot fix, and I've also used seed beads, and I enjoy it. If you like handwork, this is something that you can do while you're sitting there watching TV with the family and really kind of spruce up your quilt a little bit. Give it a, you can, you know, give it a little bit of sheen or a lot of sheen, a lot of wow and pizzazz. I know that it doesn't appeal to everybody out there, but it is really a fun thing to do, and kind of, if you have a quilt, it kind of makes it a little whimsical. But she had several techniques out there that she used. A lot of beaters use a thread called silamide, which I actually have, and comes in colors. But she recommended even just the plain Coates and Clark's cotton-covered polyester. She said definitely don't use a cotton thread, because apparently the cotton thread, it disintegrates, I guess, in the bead. You have to have something with polyester in it. And apparently the dual duty Coates and Clark cotton covered poly tends to be strong enough. Her quilts looked fantastic. So, but I guess a true beater, more inclined to use a silamide type thread. She used different techniques where she would string the beads, and she would string the beads, and then she would couch the thread before the beads and then after the beads, so she wouldn't actually secure the beads themselves to the quilt. They'd kind of like hang on the quilt, which was kind of a neat technique, and she shows that in her book, which is kind of neat. It kind of makes them a little more dimensional in that way, which I thought was a neat idea. And she talked about, you know, you can string multiple beads at that time rather than picking up one bead at a time, which could be a little more time consuming. Choosing the colors for your project, you know, are also important. You want to either complement or contrast your project. And obviously, other supplies might be necessary as well. You have to have your good scissors, and you have to have beading needles tend to be a little longer than regular needles. I'm looking. You can also use, as far as the thread goes, there's also other threads called Nymo or Nylox or Celon as well. You can use silamide, like I said. That's one that I use. You probably can Google that to see where you can get it. I think I got mine off online as well, and they come, you know, kind of on like a little card. They're not on a spool, so they're a little bit more expensive. So if you're just trying it for the first time, you might want to try the Coates and Clark that she uses. Needles are. What I was getting into the needles, there are two types of needles made specifically for bead work, long and short ones. The long ones are great for like a loom work or a long fringe. So like if you want to put a fringe at the bottom of your quilt, kind of dangling, or if you're making like even a tote bag or a purse and you want, she had actually a couple of examples of a tote bag where she had some fringe dangling, which was kind of neat. That might be neat. To have hanging from the bottom of your quilt, and if you have a quilt that definitely has a top and bottom, but so that way, if you have a long needle too, you can actually string more beads at once as well. The beading needles are sized pretty much like other needles. The higher the number, the smaller the needle. So a size 10 is commonly available, but sometimes the eye is too large for bead holes. Possibly like a seed bead or something like that. Size 12 will go through almost anything, but can be a real bear to thread. The size 11 works pretty well on most anything. Now, that information I'm getting from a book that I have, which I love, and I think it can teach you quite a bit. It's called Beading on Fabric, and it's a encyclopedia of bead stitch techniques by Larkin Jean Van Horn. And I'm sure that you can probably find that on Amazon. I don't know. It's an Interweave Press book, and it was printed in 2006. So I'm assuming it's still available, and I happen to love it. It's a book that actually lays nice and flat because it has a spiral bound. It has a hard cover, but it's spiral bound inside. Has some great ideas of technique, different types of stitches that you can use for your beading and for your specific project too. So kind of a nice little guide if you're just getting started. So check that one out in addition to Terry White's book, which I think is also very informative. Then I have a couple other books sitting in front of me that I think might be of interest to those of you who are starting. One of them is called Dazzling Quilts, Easy Glitz, and Instant Glamour by Pamela Mostak. Now, I know a lot of you are probably familiar with Pamela Mostak's work. She's been a quilter for quite a while and has done some gorgeous, gorgeous work. Her book was printed in 2006 by Martingale. At the time, they were that patchwork place. I think they still are, but anyway, she talks a lot in here about creating the quilt and quilting it with some decorative thread, and then eventually beading it. She talks about the different kinds of threads, the cottons, the polys, the metallics. So, which is really cool. Which will give you a little bit more perspective from that background. Then she really gets into the embellishing. She does a little bit of applique, and then she embellishes the applique with decorative threads or beads. She's got some gorgeous work in this book to follow. She talks about how you add the beads, what beading supplies you'll need. She really goes into detail about it and has some nice close-up shots. She also actually talks about one that I actually love is the Hot Fix Crystals, which I'm sure some of you have seen. I know that if you've been to any quilt show recently or within the past 5 years anyway, you may have seen Linda Taylor and Sherry Meineke Johnson's quilts. And Sherry makes these beautiful, beautiful quilts and then has Linda Taylor quilt them for her. But Sherry loves to embellish with the Hot Fix Crystals. And I'll tell you, it's a real effective way to get a little bit of shimmer, kind of like a sequin, but not having to use the beading thread, because it's basically a Swarovski crystal with like a little bit of some kind of glue on the back, but when you apply heat to it, it fixes to your project. Now, I have used them and they work fabulously. They don't come off. I imagine if it's something that you're going to wash, I don't know that you'd want to use this if you're going to wash any amount of time. But they are a fabulous way to get a quick little bit of glitz in there. So you might want to check that out as well. Those are fun. I can tell you, that I have done that and they are fun. And I actually have done some little fringe work on a little quilt with beads. So it's a little more time consuming because you are sitting there with your thread and your beads, stringing your beads. So it gets a little more time consuming. But remember, any of these beads or crystals or such are pretty small, so you need to sometimes work with the tweezers as well. And I think that's a great tool to have around. So anyway, so Pamela Mostak touches on the Hot Fix crystals, and she talks about the beads and the thread embellishing, so this is a wonderful book as well to add to your library if that is something that you're interested in doing. It's called Dazzling Quilts, Easy Glitz, and Instant Glamour by Pamela Mostak. Another book that I have that I think that might be of interest to you if you are looking to do decorative thread work, is called Machine Quilting with Decorative Threads, and that one is by Maureen Noble and Elizabeth Hendricks. It's also a Patrick Place and Martingale book, and that was first published. I'm looking for the published date in here, and I can't seem to find it. That was first published. It doesn't even say. That's interesting. Oh, 1998. So I don't even know if it's still in print. But you might be able to look on Amazon and possibly get it used if it's not in print. But anyway, I had this. They had come to our guild, I think, way back when. And they talked about the techniques and they use as far as machine quilting with the decorative threads. Now, I know a lot of you have probably heard about bobbin work. You can put decorative thread in your bobbin and use it that way as well, which they talk about in here. But they talk about different types of threads, and they give you tips on how to use them and when to use them, which I think are an invaluable resource in this book. And they also show you many, many ways to use the threads in a decorative manner when you are machine quilting. So if you're just, you know, doing it, you know, used to doing a normal type of quilting, why not try a decorative thread? Oftentimes, for my long arm business, I will use like a Superior Threads rainbows or lava, which is a poly thread, but it has a sheen to it, so it gives a little more glitz to the quilt, even though I'm doing maybe an edge to edge or maybe even a custom job. It gives a little more sheen to it. It makes it a little more decorative. So I like to use it. I especially love to use it on batik quilts. They look fabulous. She talks about metallic thread. She talks about flat polyester film, and then heavy threads. Heavier threads can be harder to obviously get through your machine, but she talks about how to use it and what type of stitches you can use. There are a lot of quilters out there too that also hand dye their threads as well, so you can get some really custom looks. Libby Lehman, I think, is also one who does a lot of thread work. She, I believe, has a few books out that may be of a real resource to you. Laura Wasilowski, if you follow her blog, she does a lot. She dyes a lot of her threads, which are absolutely beautiful. And she does a lot of thread work, but she does it by hand. She doesn't necessarily do them by machine. But if you have an opportunity, she dyes her own thread or her own fabric as well. If you have an opportunity to visit her blog, she shows. She has Threadjucation Thursday, so every Thursday she shows a little bit about, you know, different types of stitches. And she actually is going to be at the Empire Quilters Guild. I believe it is in November, and it's on a Sunday. So if you're in that area and you wanted to go see Laura Wasilowski speak, you might want to attend that meeting as a visitor and check it out, see what she has to say. Anyway, back to the book here. They talk about, again, bobbin work. They talk about pearl cotton threads, so which are a thicker thread, metallic braids. They talk about how to set your machine up so you can actually use these in your machine rather than by hand. So it's all about the machine in this book and how to use those threads in your machine. They also, which I find interesting, do ribbons and flat braids, which can be very decorative. And then, of course, you can couch decorative yarns and threads as well, some that are much larger that you can't fit through your machine. You can do wonderful couching effect. And they talk about how to couch. If you've never done it before, they talk about how you can do it and the effects that you can get from it. So this book is another wonderful one to have in your library if you're thinking of possibly doing some decorative thread work. Again, that book is called Machine Quilting with Decorative Threads by Maureen Noble and Elizabeth Hendricks. So I hope that I've given you some great inspirational tips today on the different types of embellishments with beads and thread. But don't forget that there are also buttons out there too, and there are tons. You've got vintage buttons, you've got new fancy modern buttons, you've got glass buttons and polymer clay and wood buttons. So the sky's kind of the limit. So if you're interested at all in doing any of these types of embellishments on your quilts, please check out the websites that I mentioned. Check out the books. I'll put a little list again on my where the information is hosted about my blog or about my podcast. I'm sorry. And if you have any questions too, you can always email me at Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, at cvquiltsworks.com. And of course, you can always visit me at my blog, cvquiltworks.blogspot.com, or at my website, cvquiltworks.com. You can visit me there as well. And I'd like to actually take this time to tell you all, if you haven't heard, I'm celebrating 10 years of being in the quilting business. And during the whole month of September, I've been celebrating. And I've been doing little things for you guys. I've been doing a wonderful Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I put up on my blog and on Facebook a special little discount or something from my shop that you can purchase at a big discount to give back to you guys, because I want to celebrate. And there's going to be some other neat things going on this month on my blog too. So make sure you check that out, because I want to continue this celebration and give back to all my customers and people that follow me on my blog and follow me on my podcast. I really want to give back to you guys. You guys are the ones who continue to give me inspiration to stay in the business. And I love that. And I love that you guys are there for me. So I really, really appreciate that. And I want to show my appreciation to you all. So anyway, enough of that. But definitely make sure you check out. And I give you a little heads up. I'm going to do a special little sale just this weekend in my shop. I got about, 70 new bolts of Westminster fabrics on my website this week. And I am going to, for Saturday and Sunday only, which would be the 18th and 19th of September, 15% off on my already low prices, which are $8.55 a yard every day. 15% off of that. You can get any Westminster fabric just for the weekend only. But when you go to check out, make sure you put in the code Westminster15 to get your discount. And again, just put in the code, you spell out Westminster and then use the number 15, and that will give you your 15% discount. And I want to tell you, I totally appreciate each and every one of you, and I love the feedback, and I hope you have enjoyed this podcast. I certainly have, and I would love to see if any of you do decide to do any kind of embellishment on your quilts. I would love to see some of that. Email me a picture. I would love it, or put it up on my Facebook wall. And I'm just excited to see what you might come up with. So thanks for visiting me again. And until next time, happy quilting.